Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we're going to read verses 13 through 18 together responsively. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. And I am really wanting you to get tonight's sermon and understand it, and I think it will help you. If you're a red-blooded American, a patriotic American, this sermon will mean a lot to you. Amen. If you're a Christian who believes in eternal security and right living, this sermon will mean much to you, which I think I've just encompassed everybody in the room, so don't worry about it. But I want to help you in more than just a spiritual way. This will help you as a citizen of our country. This will help you as an employee in a company. This will help you in many different areas. So let me jump right in. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 18. Let's read responsively. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of the evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. Notice it doesn't say anything about county commissioners. Verse 15, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. And let's pray. Father, I need you tonight. Holy Spirit, please use me, anoint my lips. I sure would like to help your people. I'd like to extend the life of our nation and our freedoms and our liberty a bit farther. Lord, would you teach us tonight what you have for us, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1776, our country declared its independence from Great Britain. We had people fight and die so that we could enjoy a free country, so that we would have liberty from foreign governments. Yes, by the way, we had borders.
Amen.
There is no such thing as countries with no borders. That's communism. That's socialism. That is not patriotism. By the way, the Statue of Liberty has nothing to do with immigration.
Thank you. Amen.
Look it up. Has nothing to do with it. Has everything to do. It is the Statue of Liberty. It means it's a symbol of our freedom and our liberty. Has nothing to do with immigration. Just thought I'd throw that in there. We were then, in 1776, able to establish our own rules and our own constitution by which America would be a unique and its own nation. We're not supposed to, as Brother Mike said, be like Europe. We're not supposed to be like Scandinavia. We're not supposed to be like any other country. We are from America.
Amen.
By the way, we wanted freedom to become our own country. Why do we want to be in bondage like others?
That's right.
America was founded for freedom. People wanted freedom to worship God and not have a state-run church. That doesn't mean what most people say today it means. That means the state could not tell you what church you had to go to. The state didn't have control of the church. We were to have religious freedom to choose what church we wanted. It didn't say to keep God out of country.
That's right.
It said to keep the country out of the church.
Yes.
Now, just as our church follows laws, we don't have a denominational headquarters, though. We'll follow fire code laws. We've had to contact the fire marshal for the new building to get his. We had to send the fire marshal, state fire marshal, set of plans so that and with our detailed information in reference to our fire protection and different things for the new building, he had to approve it before we ever even got approval for our building. And for that, we had to get the Department of Highways and our entrance and our driveway inspected by the Department of Highways and make sure we're in compliance with that. We had to go through variances and zoning issues and sit through the zoning boards and different things and make sure we're in compliance. We had to go through all those things. And by the way, it's part of it. I understand it. And not all of it do I like, nor do I always understand or agree, but we're going to live by it. I get that. But may I say something? There are laws by which our church runs. We have to keep our books, our financial books. We've been audited with our financial books so that we could get our loan for the church. You know, we've had 5 years, a little over 5 years worth of our books audited by a professional auditing system. And most churches who get audits, usually it's not good. They ask three questions about three different account names and why we named them that way. And we said, should we change them? They said, nope, that's a different name than we would put to it, but we understand why you did. There's nothing wrong with it. We just didn't know what it was. That's all they said about 5 years worth of our financials. They were pristine. Thank God for Mrs. Barnes. And thank God we do things right. I'm not afraid of it. We're going to do it. We're going to do it right. Now, I say that to say this. We act and run independent or free from all other churches. You know, we don't have a denominational headquarters telling us what to do. We don't have El Papa sitting on a fat cat seat with a $500,000 grapefruit on his head telling us what we're supposed to do. Amen. We're not the Southern Baptist Convention where we have to send our portion of our monies to a headquarters and they take care of Baylor University and Wake Forest University and send monies to colleges that are totally against what we are, but they're part of the Southern Baptist Convention. Right. Places that are teaching evolution, hell holes of young people, and every Southern Baptist church in America supports those places. It's called the cooperative program. I have a problem with that.
Yes, sir.
I have a problem with that. I'm just not going to go any farther with that. We have fought many wars to keep people's freedoms and to keep us safe. World War II was fought against four world dictators who wanted to run the world. You had Hitler, you had Stalin, you had Mussolini, and you had Hirohito in Japan. We fought on three different continents. Actually, if you want to get down to it, we actually fought on four, if you can include Pearl Harbor. To keep freedom available to the entire world. Now, listen to me carefully. Freedom and liberty is a serious issue.
Yes.
Millions have shed their blood and died for us to have freedom, both for our country and both for what we believe.
Yes.
Been a lot of bloodshed for that book right there. The Crusades were the Catholics killing us. The Reformation. Do you know that Martin Luther killed as many Christians as the popes did? Yeah. Martin Luther wasn't a real nice guy. Just so you know. He was responsible for the blood flowing more than Nero. God feels that freedom and liberty are very important and very valuable as well. So much so that God does not force his way on anybody. God gave man the freedom to choose whether they would obey him or not. God has never forced you to do anything. He has given every human being a free will to choose. Do you know that God doesn't force anybody to get saved? God doesn't come down and force you to change your ways. He just says, I want you to do it because you love me. By the way, that's why it's unfair to blame God for all the bad things that happen. I know this is a new concept because of how much bad teaching's been for centuries. But I think it's unfair to blame God for everything that happens. He didn't force it on you. You see, God gives us all the freedom to choose. Unfortunately, we all make bad and sinful choices. We're all sinners. But it doesn't make, by the way, that doesn't mean just because you make a bad choice in life that you're done with God and you'll never get another chance. Once a person gets saved, they are free from the punishment of their sin eternally. The moment a person gets saved, now if you don't get anything, get this. The moment you get saved, in God's eyes, Brother Stoltz, stand up here, you are as clean and righteous as Jesus Christ himself. Because the Bible says that the righteousness of Christ is added to your account. And when God looks at Rich Stoltz's sin account, he sees the name Jesus Christ and the righteousness of Christ. He does not see the sin that Brother Stoltz has committed. And it's a good thing. Because there's a lot of it under the blood. Amen? Can I tell you something? In God's eyes, he'll never be judged for sin because it's already been covered by the righteousness of Christ and the blood of Christ. Now, wait a minute. There is such a thing as sowing and reaping. Brother Stoltz, someday you're going to pass away if the Lord doesn't come back because you're a sinner. Good night. I remember when you had hair and it was dark. Now you don't have much and what is there isn't the same color it used to be. That's part of being a sinner here on earth, but you're never going to be judged eternally for it. You'll just face those effects in our body here on earth. Make sense to everybody? All right, have a seat there. I'm going somewhere. Listen to me very carefully. Now, once a person gets saved, they are saved forever. You can never be judged for your sin by God. By the way, we still reap the consequences of it, but we never face eternal judgment for our sin. Now, this is not a license to go out and live like the devil. Just because you cannot lose your salvation doesn't mean, well, I can go out and get drunk. I'm not going to get unsaved. It's not a good idea. It doesn't give you a license to do wrong just because you've been saved. Now, listen to this. The Bible uses this term in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 16. As free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. God says we are free because we're saved, but we are not to use our salvation as an excuse to go ahead and go out and live like a bunch of animals and reprobates. We are not to purposely go out and live as we want to or as the world wants to just because we can't lose our salvation. That is what that term as a cloak of maliciousness. Now, this doesn't mean that a saved person is going to stop all their sin. There's bad doctrine out there. Oh, to get saved, you have to repent. You have to turn from your sin. There ain't one person in here could ever turn from your sin. Because wherever you turn, you sin. Repentance is going from trusting your own righteousness to trusting the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Amen. The moment you go from trusting yourself to trusting Christ, that is the act of repentance. Yes, repentance and salvation go hand in hand because you can't get salvation without turning from your own righteousness to the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Yes. Has nothing to do with sin. Right. Has everything to do with who you're trusting. Amen. Now, hold on. Because I'm saved, I don't have a license to go out and live like the lost. I want to give you about three or four things here, and I'll shut her down in time to help you. Number one, salvation is eternal no matter what. Salvation is eternal, everlasting, no matter what. Listen to this statement. You can never be unsaved if you got saved. Malachi, stand up there for a second. You're 15, 16, right? Can you ever be unborn from your mama? Even if you disobey her? Huh, have a seat. The moment you get born again, you can't be unborn from
That's
God.
Right. That's right, yes, sir.
Go ask Ashley Heaney if she wants to put Scarlett back. God knows that ain't going to happen. God knows Joe's mama doesn't want to put him back either. There ain't enough room to shove that back. You can't be unborn. Can I tell you something? Once you get saved, you can't be unborn. Doesn't matter what you do. It is impossible, because the moment you get saved, the Holy Spirit of God rebirths you, and the Holy Spirit of God indwells you, and you cannot push him away at that point. That's where he resides. Amen. You can no longer get unsaved, or no easier get unsaved than you could dethrone God from heaven, because the Holy Spirit of God himself lives inside you. Now, well, you really have to mean it with all your heart. Show me one place in Scripture where it says that. Bible says, believe with your with thine heart. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart. Did it say that you have to, how much belief there is? Well, yes it does. Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, God hath given to every man the measure of faith. Right. If you have enough faith to say, I'm a sinner, I deserve hell, Jesus paid the price, I'm willing to trust what Jesus did, guess what? You had enough faith to get saved.
Amen. That's
right. It doesn't say you have to lay on the floor and cry for 3 hours before you got it.
That's right.
The old Methodists. Oh, just pray through. Just pray through. Pray until you cried. Pray until you feel it. Well, I know people that got it and never felt it. Hate to disappoint you. I know people that felt it that never got it. This is why motive and your works, by the way, motive has nothing to do with it. Well, did they have the right motive for getting saved? Well, I think not wanting to die and go to hell is a pretty good motive.
Amen.
I think wanting to go to heaven is a pretty good motive. How about you, Brother Mike? I don't care which it is. I don't find anywhere that God says you have to have the right motive to get saved. That's man wanting to be God and judge another man.
Yeah.
By the way, that's why you have no right to say, well, I'm judging them by their fruits. God said, judge ye not, that you be not judged.
Amen.
You are not the judge of someone's salvation. God is.
That's right.
Who are you to judge? Well, I can be a fruit inspector. Careful how you say that in these days.
That's right.
Ship you to Frisco or Houston. Send you to Baltimore, D.C. Salvation has nothing to do, by the way. If you believe that, thief on the cross died and went to hell. Jesus said, this day shalt thou be with me in paradise. He had no works to show for it.
That's right.
He didn't even get baptized.
That's right.
You calling Jesus a liar? You calling the apostles liars? Every one of those rascals forsook Jesus.
That's right.
One of them was cussing. All of them quit the ministry.
Yeah.
Went back to the worldly making money. Fishing business. I told a preacher this week, I said, most churches in America today would have never accepted any of the apostles as their pastor. My Bible says God's given to every man the measure of faith. Moment you put that faith in Christ Jesus, God says, hot diggity dog, you're saved.
Amen.
That's good.
By the way, There is no other measure mentioned as far as faith. There's no measuring stick mentioned other than God has given to every man the measure of faith. God has put into the life of every human that's ever been conceived enough faith to get saved. Well, what about the people in Africa? They get saved too, amen, Brother Mike? What about the people in the deepest, darkest jungles of wherever? Guess what? They all have faith. You're playing God if you judge somebody else's salvation. Quit playing God. It is not for you to judge. When I go soul winning, I'll knock on the door.
Ask somebody if they know for sure they're going to heaven. Sometimes they say no. Before I leave, we show them how. If they say yes, I say, great, I think there's a way you can know that. Can you tell me how do you know for sure? Some people might not have all the exact wording, but I can usually tell if somebody's got salvation down. Well, just because I've always believed God. I was with Brother Barnes one day, and a guy said, well, just because I believe God, I've always believed God. I said, well, the devil believes God, and he's going to hell. He said, now that's a good point, preacher. I said, yes, sir, let me show you something. Are you a sinner? He said, oh, man, I'm a sinner. I went through the Romans Road with him, bowed his head, and he trusted Christ as his Savior.
Amen.
Can I tell you something? It's not a matter that you believe God or, well, my good's going to outweigh my bad. Wrong answer.
Your bad far outweighs your good. You cannot lose your salvation no matter how badly you sin after you get saved. Folks, the Apostle Peter was cussing and swearing while Jesus was being tried. Now, I'm not for cussing and swearing, but can I tell you something? He didn't lose his salvation. Maybe that's why the Pope's... Never mind.
The apostles believed in ghosts twice. It's a spirit. It's a ghost. It's Casper. Now, wait a minute. If I got up and said, okay, I saw a ghost this week,
I'm going to lose a little credibility. Amen? I know preachers that get up and, oh yeah, I believe we've had angels in our church. All this goofy junk about angels. Yes, there are angels. They're real creatures. And you may have met one but did not know it because you wouldn't know the difference. Trust me. So, salvation is eternal, first of all. Second, do not use your eternal salvation as a cloak to do wrong. That word cloak means covering.
It literally means like a jacket. It is a covering.
You do not get to do what you want just because you got saved. The word malicious means purposeful wrongdoing. Purposeful wrongdoing. Doing something evil, doing something bad on purpose. 2 Peter 2:19 says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 6. I'm going to show you something. Romans chapter 6,
verse number 1. Romans chapter 6, verse number 1. You ready? Hang on, you ready? What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?
What shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? I'm saved. God's grace can cover it. And God says, no, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? God doesn't want us to continue doing wrong purposely in our lives. Turn to Romans chapter 8, verse number 21. Romans chapter 8, verse 21. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Someday this robe of flesh will drop and rise.
And all those sinful desires are going to be gone. Amen. All those sinful traits will be gone, thank God.
Amen.
But can I tell you something? We are to be dead to sin while we live as Christians.
Yes.
For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am to live as Christ would live. But I'm still a sinner. And we are not to allow the bondage of the corruption of our flesh, just because we're saved, to give us a license to go out and do what we want to do. Brother Mike, you used to drink beer. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you can go out and start drinking beer again. Somebody must, Brother Stoltz, did you ever do drugs? I thought so. No. just because Brother Stoltz is saved, it doesn't give him a license to go back into that lifestyle.
That's right.
There are people in this room, you came out of some pretty rough backgrounds. It doesn't give you a license to go back and live that way. I mean, Miss Kathy used to smoke cigarettes. Brother Harry used to chew tobacco. They cured each other. His can of tobacco juice spilled on her in the car. And he'd open the window while she smoked her cigarettes, and they decided, let's call a truce and just quit this mess. Hey, man, it's pretty close to being right. All right. Can you see Miss Kathy with a cigarette? I just can't picture that. Wait a minute. Can I tell you something? We're to be dead to those things. All right? Actually, she smokes cigars, but... Now, the Christian life... Now, listen to me. The Christian life isn't about how you see life. It's how does God see it. Well, preacher, I just don't see it the way you say it. I don't say it. God did.
Amen.
Well, I think it's okay for a lady's skirt to be shorter than what you preach.
Yeah.
Well, you take it up with God. You have the freedom to be wrong, but you're still wrong.
Right.
Nakedness is nakedness.
Yes, sir.
And I don't care if you're a man or a woman.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right? It's about to get a little warmer. You
ready?
Well, preacher, I just don't see it that way. I don't feel it. I haven't felt the conviction by the Holy Spirit. I can't help you're not listening.
Yeah. Come on.
Who said you had to feel something to change it?
That's right. Amen.
Well, I don't see soul winning like you do in the Bible, preacher. How much difficult does it get from house to house? Take the gospel to every creature. I find nowhere where it says take the surveys to every person.
That's right. Amen.
That's right.
Did you know you won't find a survey in the Bible?
Yes,
sir. Am I doing all right? Well, I just don't like your style of preaching. I don't feel like I'm being fed. Oh, I'm so tired of that, I want to vomit. I better not use the word I was thinking. Is barf a bad word? Folks, last time I checked, only babies need fed. God said, lift up your voice like a trumpet.
Amen.
The Bible talks about pounding the pulpit, hitting the pulpit.
Right.
I'm not afraid of it.
Amen.
You're just not deep enough into the Word of God. I promise you one thing. You take the sermon I preached this morning, that's about as deep as you're going to get, and it was as simple as could be.
Yes.
Profundity is always simple.
That's right.
Something that sounds profound generally isn't profound.
Amen.
That's man impressed with himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jesus loves me, this I know, is one of the most profound truths of the Word of God.
Amen.
I'll take that over all the breathy garbage of today. Good night. If you can't hit the note right the first time, why sing it? Go practice a little more. I'm talking about the right kind of music.
and Brother Stoltz and I work with this.
I'm for the right kind of music. We're not getting into the contemporary junk.
Amen.
We're not getting into the, let's redo the hymns and syncopate them. It's going to be a cold day where the booger man lives before that happens.
Amen.
Here.
Amen.
And you can say what you want. First time a tour group comes through here and they got the wrong kind of music, I'll shut it down right in the middle of the song.
Amen.
Amen.
I have no problem doing it. My pulpit, my church,
Amen.
They can take their music and go somewhere else at that moment.
Yes, sir.
I don't worry about it right now, but if it ever did happen, don't get all embarrassed. Everybody doing all right?
Yes,
I was principal in Christian schools before, and I have shut ball games down because cheerleaders didn't do what they were asked to do and walked out and said, okay, game's over, you guys forfeited, we're done. Shut the whole thing down. Say why? Because we weren't going to do a leg show in my gymnasium.
Amen.
Thank you.
I won't put up with it. I shut a game down one night before it ever started because the guy's shorts were too short.
Yes, sir.
I said, you're not going to run around naked in my gymnasium. You got sweats? Nope. Game's over. You forfeited. I sent you a letter with everything that you were supposed to live by, and it said, if you choose not to, you forfeit the game. You just lost.
Yes, sir.
By the way, just so you know, I gave him money to get back home on and get some food on the way home. Because it wasn't the boys' fault, it was the leadership's fault.
Yes, sir, that's right.
Made sure they had food to get back on. Canceled the game. Say, boy, you're pretty strict. No, I just believe in doing things right.
Yes,
amen.
That's good.
We're not changing the Word of God. It's the King James Bible, that's it.
Amen.
Like it or lump it, this is what it is. I have my reasons. I can prove to you it's the Word of God.
Yes, sir.
We're not going to change standards around here. Music, dress, or anything else.
Amen.
We're going to go after lost sinners. We're going to bring snotty-nosed bus kids in.
Amen.
They're going to write on the bathroom walls and write in the song books, and they're going to dirty things up, and I'm going to write on the wall first so you can blame me. Good night. If it's a hospital, guess what? It's going to get messy from time to time.
That's
right. So, number one, your salvation's eternal. Number two, you don't use your eternal salvation as a covering to go out and go do what you want to do. These churches, well, it's the 21st century, Brother Bush. Well, come back next week, we'll find out if you know what month it is. God said he doesn't change.
Amen.
I am the Lord thy God, I change not.
That's good.
It doesn't matter what the date on the calendar is, it doesn't change.
Amen.
Right.
See, well, you're just so old-fashioned, thank you.
Amen. Yes, sir.
I have no problem with that compliment.
Good.
Well, we're not going to have the new giant screens, you know, the 20-foot tall screens and put my face up. Folks, I'm not Joel Osteen.
Amen.
Thank
Amen.
God.
Amen.
We're not going to have Follow the Bouncy Ball for your songbooks.
Amen.
I'm probably going to get in trouble, but I don't care. Our church is going to be a friendly church because we believe in the Spirit of God, not because it's forced on us. I know a church that is practicing right now to have what they call area neighborhood captains in their church so that people in their section of the church can go greet everybody and get to know everybody. And then the pastor's getting ready to start a battle because then he's going to ask those neighborhood captains to move to different sections of the auditorium and get to know somebody else.
God forbid that any pastor have to get up and preach that as a sermon.
Folks, stand there and shake everybody's hand and welcome him as part of the family. Amen?
Amen.
That's good.
If you're too good to give your seat up to somebody that's new in our church, do me a favor. Let me show you where to sit. You can sit right there. Take mine. I don't sit in long enough anyway. Don't worry. I have no problem at all with it.
Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. Number three, and I got 3 minutes. The Holy Spirit gives us freedom from sin to do God's will and to do what's right.
Isaiah 61:1, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. It talks about setting them that at liberty which are lost. You know, when you take the gospel to someone and they get saved, you have just set them free from hell. You have just set them free from the bondage of sin.
That little girl that came and got saved today, she visited, came and got saved. She was set free today, Brother Joe. Turn to Luke chapter 4. Oh, man, so many verses I want to turn to, but we do not have time. Luke chapter 4, I got to hurry. Luke chapter 4, look at verse number 18. The Bible says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them which are bruised. Sounds like our church, doesn't it? Huh. Guess God has something planned for us to set people free. Well, I know somebody that they were a bad sinner before they came to our church. No. My favorite statement is this. Well, they must be a better sinner than you because you weren't
in church. You're criticizing somebody.
2 Corinthians chapter 3, don't bother turning there, I'll just read it to you. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Holy Spirit will give you freedom to live right. Can I tell you something?
29 years ago, when I got married to that little lady right there, we stood, and her pastor was about that tall. I think he's 4'10", 4'11". My wife is taller than he was, or the same height, okay? But don't mess with him. He was a stick of dynamite. Brother Hobbins got up and said, Craig, we went through a series of vows. Will you have her, hold her, love her, honor, keep her, sickness and health, richness and poverty and wealth, for richer, for poorer, or as we said, for poor and for poorer, forsaking all other, keep the only, so long as you so both shall live, do you so promise? And I said, I do. And went through hers. Love, cherish, and obey. Amen, Miss Wally? too late. I have it on tape. You already said it. Now, wait a minute. Love, cherish, and obey. Till death do us part. Did you know that that is so far below where we live, it's not even funny? That wasn't the ultimate. That was the beginning. If I have to revert back to my vows, I'm not loving her like I'm supposed to. Everybody doing all right? That was just the entry level. Good night. I got 29 years of practice on it. I'm having fun.
The Holy Spirit is not found in a feeling. He's found in a truth.
Yes, sir.
These people, well, you got to feel the Spirit. Find nowhere in Scripture where it says you have to feel anything.
That's right. That's good.
Well, you got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, the moment you got saved, you got sanctified, and the Holy Ghost came inside you.
That's right.
Feel it or not, it's there. And it is the Holy Spirit, then, that guides you, directs you. He's the one that says, hey, stupid, don't do that. That's wrong. Hey, you ought not do that.
Amen.
Hey, you better do this over here. That's you better start working on that. Now, that's the Holy Spirit.
The Holy Spirit's not found in a peppy song. Well, that song makes me tingle, makes my foot tap. That must be Spirit-filled music. Well, you go to the honky-tonk, I'll watch a lot of toes tapping, and it's not Holy Spirit-filled music.
That's right.
You can go to any worldly concert in the world, they'll feel things, but it's not the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right?
Well,
I just tingled when this happened, so it must have been the Holy Ghost. Folks, you can tingle doing other things too, and it's not the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Well, that was exciting. That was loud and bombastic preaching. That was filled with the Holy Ghost. Did you know that
quiet preaching can be filled with the Holy Ghost too?
That's right.
I don't have to be standing on my head, spitting BBs, chewing peanut butter, and swinging from the chandelier for the Holy Ghost to be in it.
Amen. Well, it made me cry. The Holy Spirit was so thick in there. Well, you can cry a river of tears and the Holy Ghost ain't there. The Holy Ghost is what gives you freedom to do right. It's found in a truth. The Holy Spirit works within truth, not outside of truth.
Listen to this statement. The Holy Spirit cannot work outside the Bible.
That's right.
Because if he does, the Holy Spirit is God. And if he goes contrary to the word of God, he is contrary to himself, and God is a liar, and God is a sinner. Therefore, the Holy Ghost cannot work outside of the word of God.
Yes, sir.
Right.
I've had widows come to me, or ladies at times. Well, I just feel like I'm supposed to give my entire inheritance to the Lord, and I'll just live a life of poverty. And I'll say, we really feel like the Spirit wants me to do this. Uh-uh, not doing it. God didn't tell you to do that.
Amen.
Just so you know. Everybody doing okay?
Amen.
He said you need to pay your bills. You need to live. Now, if you want to give a little extra that you don't have to live on, okay. But I'm not taking anybody's soul possessions and say, here you go. That's wrong.
Amen.
I believe you ought to be an honest person and pay your bills. Well, I want to live by faith. Totally. Okay. Live off the interest of your money, give a little extra of it, and go from there. We doing all right? God cannot go contrary to the word of God. I know a lady who's married, had 5 kids.
She went to her pastor and said, I really believe the Lord wants me to go to, and she named the country. I won't name it. I'll give you a different continent. Even go to Asia to be a missionary. Pastor said, wonderful. What's your husband say? Well, he doesn't want to go, but I'm going to go without him. I know it's what the Lord wants. Uh-uh. Moment you took a wedding vow, you just nixed your other vow.
Hate to disappoint you. You're not going to breach one to do the other.
That's right.
The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way.
Yeah.
I'm going to say this. I think it's unwise for young people, even teenagers, to, if they're going to go into full-time service, to yield to one certain part of the ministry. I think it's dangerous to have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 12, 14-year-olds surrender to go to a certain field of the mission work. You don't have enough sense to know what God wants you to do yet for sure. I think you ought to be willing to do whatever God wants you to do, whether it's missions or whether it's in what I'll call your home country. How about you just be willing to do whatever God wants you to do, and while you're in Bible college, figure it out. I was 13 years old and went to Mexico the first time, surrendered to preach, and I really thought I was going to go
to Bible college and be a missionary to Mexico, Brother Mike. Really did. And by the way, if the Lord came to me and said it's time to go, I'd go. But the Lord hadn't said that. While I was in Bible college, I got a little bit of wisdom, got a little bit of sense, and God showed me another path that he wanted me on. I was tender to the mission field. I still love the missions. But the Lord didn't just allow me to go to the mission field. I've been to Mexico 8, 10, 12 times, something like that.
But I've trained missionaries who are now missionaries. I have converts who are missionaries. I've reached more missions by not going to the mission field than had I gone to the mission field. I'm glad I listened to the Lord. But at 2021, I told my wife before we got engaged, if the Lord wants us to go anywhere, are you willing to go anywhere? She said, of course. Thank God. I'll take that back. We did do 2 years of missions work. We were in Southern California. The land of cereal, fruits and nuts, amen? Whew. Can I tell you something? I thank God I listened to what the Holy Spirit said do. Had I surrendered to be a missionary at 13, I may have limited God. The Holy Spirit does not work outside of the Word of God. He will work in unison with the Word of God.
Yes.
Let me say this and I'm done. Christians tend to learn enough to become dangerous to themselves with their Christianity.
They want to appear spiritual and use their spirituality as a cloak of maliciousness to go out and live the way they want. Young people are good at this. They get to a certain age and they decide they're going to go do what they want to do. They don't have to listen. They know better than everybody else. That's using your righteousness, your liberty, as a cloak of maliciousness. Well, I don't want to go see the preacher. I know what he's already going to say. That's called using your liberty as a cloak of maliciousness.
Amen.
Man's too impressed with himself. We think we know it all. You got to realize you're nothing but a low-down, good-for-nothing scum of the earth sinner like the rest of us. God is the only one that is all holy, all righteous, all right, and has all the answers. Let's get back to doing it God's way. Let's quit using our spirituality as a,
well, I can get away with it. I'm not going to lose my salvation over it. So I can go ahead and go do it.
Yeah. I remember one time my dad said, yeah, you can do that, but you don't want to face the consequences of it. What's the consequences going to be? You'll find out if you do it. If he won't tell you what the punishment is, it's not going to be good. Better rethink this strategy here. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Uh-huh. Let's not use our righteousness as a cloak to do what we want maliciously. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wonder how many of us have been guilty of that.